Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the story of a United States senator. You are going behind the scenes of political Washington, into the Senate chambers, the cloakrooms, the private offices, the meetings, secret and public. The locale, the background, are factual. Only the names and the stories are fictional. This is Freedom, USA. Starring Tyrone Power as the Senator of the United States and featuring the voice of America's distinguished news commentator and Washington authority, Edwin C. Hill. Freedom, USA, the story of your government today. In a moment, listen to Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA. Now, we present Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards and featuring the voice of Edwin C. Hill.
This is Edwin C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. The big news in Washington at this particular moment concerns one of the most important privileges granted to United States senators, a privilege that's essential to the basic principles of good government, namely, the Senate's right to say no to the President of the United States. When the President chooses a man for a vital government post, for example, it's up to the Senate to say aye or nay to the appointment. Often, this inspires heated debates in the Senate chamber. Right now, on the floor of the Senate chamber in Washington, the debate concerns the President's recommendation of Arthur Andes for an important defense post. The high-domed hall is bristling with excitement as Senator Dean Edwards continues his stubborn defense of Arthur Andes in spite of the objections of his colleagues.
Senator Edwards.
I ask the President of the Senate to reconsider my motion that Senator McRae's statements concerning Arthur Andes be stricken from the record.
I object.
The Senator's criticisms of Mr. Andes are based on rumor, hearsay, the unfounded accusations of a newspaper columnist who's obviously out to smear the man.
I object.
I have the floor, Senator McRae.
You wish to be recognized, Senator McRae?
I most certainly do.
I have the floor, Mr. President. I'm not finished.
The chair apologizes to Senator Edwards. Continue, please.
Thank you. Gentlemen of the Senate, I implore you to consider Arthur Andes' record again before you decide against him.
He's accused of dishonesty. The job's too big for that kind of man.
We can't call him dishonest until he's been proved dishonest. I've known Arthur Andes for years, personally. There's never been any doubt about his honesty and integrity until Wendell Merrick printed that story. Arthur Andes' background and experience are ideal for the job for which our president has recommended him.
Mr. Chairman!
The chair recognizes Senator McRae.
I'd like to ask Senator Edwards why he's so willing to go out on a limb for a man suspected of dealing illegally with government officials.
Senator Edwards?
I don't consider myself out on a limb at all. Arthur Andes is not suspected of anything illegal. Wendell Merrick has used carefully worded stories to imply that Arthur Andes is a dishonest man. I'd hate to think that the decisions of this legislative body were formed by the whims of a Wendell Merrick or any single individual. I'd like to point out, too, that the stories of Arthur Andes' possible dishonesty were exclusive to the papers carrying Merrick's column. No other paper carried them. Senator McRae read those stories into the record a few moments ago. On the grounds that they're detrimental to the character and career of a decent citizen, I ask that they be stricken from the record.
Shall the chair consider that in the form of a motion, Senator?
Yes, please.
Will anyone second the motion? Will anyone second the motion that Senator McRae's statements concerning Arthur Andes be stricken from the record? Motion defeated.
Hi, Ginger.
Did any call... Uh-oh, my secretary's got a mood on. What's the matter?
Nothing. Oh, everything. Nothing.
Ginger.
Hmm?
Did I ever tell you that you don't look well in black?
I'm not wearing black.
Not your clothes. Your expression. Why the grim look?
Three reporters from three Merritt newspapers called asking for interviews, and Mary Kincaid called, asking for a statement for her paper. And Judge Parker's inside, waiting to see you.
Okay, okay. Now tell me what's bothering you. Is it something about Arthur Andes?
You'd better see Judge Parker.
You haven't answered me.
You'd better see the judge. He's been waiting a long time.
And then will you answer me?
No. But maybe Judge Parker will.
Dean, I know you don't want to know Washington has been like me poking around in your affairs.
Poke away, Judge Parker. I can use it.
Well, confound it, it's about this Arthur Andes business.
Oh, you don't think I should defend him?
Of course, Dean, but Andes is...
Oh, Andes has been a close friend, sure, and he's helped me with my election campaign, but it's much more than that.
The Merrick brand of journalism. That it?
Right.
And you don't believe his claims about the deals Andy's made with government officials,
eh? Of course I don't. And as long as Arthur is willing to battle it out,
Dean.
I'll... Yes, sir?
Andy's isn't willing to battle it out.
What do you mean?
I've just come from Pennsylvania Avenue. The White House received word from Andy's a little while ago. He's turned down the job.
Turned it down?
Yeah.
Does the newspapers know about it?
No, not yet. There's still time for you to reverse your stand, Dean. Retract your statements about Andy.
No. I can't do that.
Andy's quit under fire, Dean. As far as the press is concerned, that's like an admission of guilt.
Yeah, I know. And Wendell Merrick becomes a hero.
And you, my boy, become the goat.
Senator Edwards' office. Miss Kincaid? One moment, please. It's Mary Kincaid.
No. Well, tell her she'll get her statement when the other reporters do.
The senator will issue his statement at 5 o'clock, Miss Kincaid. No, I'm sorry. 5 o'clock. Senator Edwards' office. Yes, sir. He's preparing a statement for the press now.
Are you really getting anything done in this madhouse, Dean?
No. I guess I'd better hide in the other office. Ginger, protect me from the outside world for a while, will you?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Anything I could do to help, Dean?
No, Judge. Thanks anyway. I'll see you later.
I tried, Ginger. I tried to make him change his mind about Andy.
Oh, I know you did, Judge. He can be so stubborn when he wants to. Judge Parker, do you think this is as bad for him as it seems? I mean, his career and everything?
Well, a lot depends on what he tells the reporters this afternoon. After all, Merrick wields a lot of power in that column of his.
Gosh, if they do anything to hurt him, I just don't know what I'll do.
Here. You'd better answer your phone.
Hmm? Oh, thanks. Senator Edwards' office. What? That's right, sir. It's an open press conference. All the reporters are invited.
Afternoon, everyone.
Hi there, Senator.
We'd like to ask you some questions, Senator.
Wait a minute, fellas. Let's hear the Senator's statement first.
Thanks, Miss Kincaid. I'll read my statement. You can pick up copies as you leave. Here it is. I believe that Arthur Andes' refusal to accept the position offered to him is no more a sign of guilt than the unfounded accusations that have been hurled at him by one newspaper man, whose influence in Washington overshadows his responsibility to the truth. I believe in Mr. Andy's honesty and capability. Whether it's politically expedient for me or not, I'll continue my fight to clear his name until proof has been offered to change my mind. That's all.
Senator, is it possible that your defense of Andy's is just a carefully hidden attack against the free press?
That's a pretty snide question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The answer is no. The function of a free press is to report the news, not make it. Any irresponsible use of a free press can hamper its freedom.
Is Wendell Merrick doing that, Senator?
Don't answer that, Senator.
Any more tricky questions?
How long have you known Arthur Randy?
Since the end of World War II.
You ever have any direct business with him?
Sure, he was active in all my election campaigns.
How active?
Oh, as an advisor, contributor.
What did he contribute?
The usual thing, only more of it. Time, money, hard work, common sense. That'll be all now, folks. Thanks for coming.
Bye. Senator Edward.
Hmm? Oh, Miss Kincaid. Well, thanks for protecting me.
Forget it. It didn't help.
Why not?
The guy in the gray suit, the one who asked most of the questions. He's Wendell Merrick's leg man, covers the news when his boss is out of town.
What of it?
Nothing. You just answered all the wrong questions, that's all. Pleasant dreams.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, a fine hour for visitors.
Okay, 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 okay.
Edwards, look at this.
Senator McCrae. What? Oh, come in.
Edwards, the extras are out. Here, look. Look what they're saying.
What are you talking about?
The headlines. Look, a brand new scoop for Wendell Merrick. Read it.
Senator Edwards admits taking money from Andy's...
Senator Edwards admits taking money from Andy's. What's that mean, Senator? How could Merrick print that if it weren't true?
I don't know. I guess I did answer the wrong questions.
Now, back to Tyrone Power, starring as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA, and the second act of our story.
This is Edmund C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. The power of the press in Washington, as every government official must realize, is unlimited. More than 300 newspapers maintain bureaus in the nation's capital, to say nothing of the special correspondents and press associations and radio and television and newsreel personnel and freelance writers, all intent on getting the news first. This power is rarely misused or misdirected by the Washington press. But when misuse occurs, tragedy can be the result. For evidence of this, we take you to the Senate office building at 1st and B Streets, Northeast. The victim, Senator Dean Edwards.
Ginger, where are you?
Over here at the files.
Cancel my appointments for today. No interviews either. I don't want to see any reporters or photographers.
Okay.
In fact, I don't want to see anybody.
Not even me, Dean.
Huh? Oh, hello, Judge Parker. I'm glad you're here.
You're upset, son. You're letting Merrick's smear campaign get under your skin.
Yeah, and it's beginning to fester.
You can sue him for slander, you know.
No, I can't.
Why not?
Because the story's true. I did take money from Andy's.
What? Dean, you...
No, don't worry. It was perfectly legitimate. Arthur contributed some money to my election campaign.
Well, there's nothing illegal about that. It's a practice used by every man who ever ran for office.
Exactly. But you'd never know it from the way Merrick wrote it up.
No, he did a thorough job, all right.
Ginger, where's the newspaper?
I have it. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Now, listen to this. Senator Dean Edwards today admitted he has accepted large sums of money from the man whose character he has consistently defended on the floor of the Senate. The money was given to him, the senator confessed, by his close friend, millionaire lumberman Arthur Andes. Recently, Andes sidestepped a presidential appointment when he was accused of bribing government officials. The exposé of this payoff has caused unprecedented indignation among Edwards' colleagues in the Senate who... Ah.
Easy, son. You won't solve any problems that way.
Pretty slick stuff, all right. The choice of words. Admitted, confessed, exposé, payoff.
Oh, Judge Parker, isn't there something we can do? Something to stop this? It's horrible.
I don't know, my dear. I just don't know.
Look, why don't I have a talk with this smear artist?
You mean you talk to Merrick? Right, in New York, isn't it?
All right, I'll fly up there. I might learn something that'll settle this mess. Ginger, you can get a consent of absence for me from Senator Lawton, can't you?
I suppose so.
All right, well, don't tell anyone where I'm going. Just say I took a short vacation at my own expense.
That seat next to you taken, Senator?
No, Well, Miss Kincaid, what are you doing here?
Corny line, Senator. You're getting predictable. You must need this vacation. Oh, love these reclining seats.
Look, Miss Kincaid.
Mary.
Mm-hmm. One predictable question.
I'll answer it. I'm here because you're good copy and I'm a reporter. Whatever you do from now on is bound to be news. Hey, when's this big bird due to rise?
Pretty quick.
Going to visit your friend, Wendell Merrick?
Maybe. Now, here we go.
Better fasten your seatbelt, Senator. You may be in for a bumpy ride.
Well, well, well. A real live senator in my office. Another demonstration of the power of the press.
How do you figure that, Mr. Merrick?
That's a magic formula. A few carefully chosen words in bold black type, and poof, I have a senator for a guest. want to go down and watch the presses roll? Afternoon edition's due to move in a few minutes.
No, thanks. I came here to talk about Arthur Andes.
Oh, that. Yeah, I might have known. Now, let's see. You want to know why I did what I did to Andes and to you. And then you'll lecture me about taking advantage of America's free press. Isn't that the pattern?
Something like that, yes.
Well, I guess I can talk freely with you. You're practically washed up in Washington now.
It's nice to know you care.
Well, Andy's lumber interests supply a lot of newsprint, you know. During the war, when paper was at a premium, the publisher of this chain of newspapers offered your friend a deal. Far better deal than any competitors could offer, too.
And Arthur turned it down.
Yeah, some foolishness about existing contracts. Wouldn't break them. Obligations to clients, that sort of nonsense.
There go the presses, Merrick. Your playthings.
Sure you don't want to go down and watch them roll?
No, thanks.
Well, to telescope the story, if my boss hadn't found another source of newsprint, he might have been ruined.
So now you're trying to ruin Andy's.
Why not? My boss will appreciate it. Nothing like cementing relations with my employer, you know. I'm due for a new contract soon.
Your boss is a reputable publisher. Isn't he interested in printing the truth?
Sure. But he trusts me. I sell a lot of papers for him.
And how do I fit into the picture?
Oh, that. I overstepped legal bounds a bit in my efforts to smear Andes. He was about to file suit against me. Till I started pulling your name through the mud. I knew you two were fast friends.
And Arthur didn't sue because he was protecting me?
Yeah, something heroic like that. Do you know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for some smart boy in Congress to launch an investigation of the press. If I needle them enough, they'll do it. Wait and see.
Why so eager? You're the type of man that needs investigating.
Go ahead, Senator. Start investigating. That would be my golden opportunity to become a martyr to the freedom of the press. Every syndicate in the country would run to sign me up. Martyrs can demand good prices, you know. Where are you going, Senator?
Get some fresh air, Merrick. You're beginning to turn my stomach.
Hey, Senator Edwards, wait a minute.
Oh, hi, Miss Kincaid. Where have you been?
Waiting for you. You've got your nerve seeing Merrick without me.
Come on.
How am I supposed to get a story if you... Will you please slow down? I can't walk that fast.
Do you want a story? A big story?
Uh-huh. Got one for me?
Yes, I think I have.
Aren't you sure?
Well, here. Listen. Arthur Andes has decided to file suit against Merrick for libel, slander, defamation of character, the works.
Well, it's about time. How do you know? Have you seen Andy?
No, but I'm going to. Right now. Hey, taxi!
Wait a minute.
Look, Mary, you file the story. I'll take care of Andes.
No, Dean, it's no use. I've tangled with Merrick's type too often. He doesn't know how to lose.
Then it's time he learned, Arthur. Merrick tried to ruin us through the press. There's no reason why we can't use the press to fight back.
At what price? Our careers, reputation?
If you file suit against him, you'll win that suit. Merrick has a lot of power, sure. But the rest of the press has power, too. They'd love to know the truth about this whole thing. Arthur, we can't let Merrick get away with this. We can't.
Okay. Okay. Well, what do we do first?
First, you call your lawyers and tell them to slap a big, fat slander suit against Wendell Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
Then wire the White House and tell them you'd like to reconsider that presidential appointment.
Dean, I...
You've still got your ticket to Washington, haven't you?
Sure.
So it's a lot easier to take the job than to get a refund on the ticket.
And the newspapers, who's going to tell them?
Well, I've already done it, Arthur. The story should be in the evening edition.
What? Dean, yeah.
You're not angry, are you?
Senator... At the risk of being accused of bribery, I'd like to buy you a present.
Careful now, John.
Just a small present. A cushion. A cushion for your seat in the Senate.
The chair recognizes Senator McRae.
Gentlemen of the Senate. Two very recent events cannot be ignored by this lawmaking body. One, the slander suit filed against the columnist Wendell Merrick by Arthur Andes. And two, our approval of Mr. Andes for the post for which he was originally recommended by the president. In the light of these events, I feel that it is the duty of the Senate to protect the people of this great nation from further exploitation by irresponsible members of the press. Only by a thorough, relentless investigation can we ensure continued freedom of the press.
Would you like to put your suggestion in the form of a motion, Senator McRae?
Mr. President.
Yes, I'd like to put it in the form of a motion.
Mr. President.
I yield to Senator Edwards.
Chair recognizes Senator Edwards.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid I have to disagree with Senator McRae again. There's no doubt that men like Wendell Merrick are a menace to a free press, but we cannot indict an entire profession because of one man's lack of integrity. It isn't the press that's guilty, it's Wendell Merrick. In Merrick's case, he's already paid some of the price for his disreputable antics. His publisher has refused to renew his contract, and no one else will hire him. Senator McRae, members of the Senate, we can't belittle our freedom. As long as the press remains free, it will remain strong. We can best ensure its freedom by recognizing and respecting it, not by tampering with it. I yield.
Mr. President,
Senator McRae,
Senator Edwards has put forth a mighty convincing argument, all right. But I still feel that the Senate should consider the value of an investigation very carefully. Therefore, I move that we appoint a committee to investigate the press immediately.
Will anyone second the motion? Will anyone second the motion, please? Motion defeated.
Edmund C. Hill again, ladies and gentlemen. You have heard the story of Congress and the press, two fundamental powers in American government, each dependent upon the other for its welfare, its strength, its dignity. In the mutual respect of Congress and the American press lies one of the keys to the successful operation of a free nation. This is Freedom USA.
Our star, Tyrone Power, will return in just a moment.
Look, Ginger, over there where the guard is standing.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
young lady, if you'd visit the Library of Congress more often, you'd know.
I can't. My boss chains me at the desk.
Well, over there in that case is one of the three perfect copies of the Gutenberg Bible, published about 1455. It was bought in 1930 for $350,000.
A lot of money for one book.
Highest price ever paid. And here, look at this.
This one even I can recognize. The Magna Carta. Can you read Latin?
No, but I know what the Magna Carta says. At least some of it.
Go on, Senator. Go on.
No scutage or taxes shall be imposed on our kingdom except by common council of our kingdom. No free man shall be taken or imprisoned or disseised or exiled or in any way destroyed except by the lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. And to no one, will we sell our right or justice.
Next week, may we invite you to again visit our national capital for another absorbing episode of Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power. In the interest of good government, we urge you to listen to these important stories from Washington, D.C. Freedom, USA.